We present Frenchman's Creek by Daphne du Maurier. Dramatized for radio by Brian Gere. With Sheila Ruskin as Donaldson Collum, David Buck as Jean-Benoit Aubry, and Jeffrey Matthews as William. Frenchman's Creek.
This is a tedious play. Don't you think it's tedious, Rockingham? It has just begun, Harry. Oh, I'm bored. What's it all about? It's all so damned clever. I'm still clever by half.
Perhaps if you drank less, Harry, you might understand a little more.
I insisted we came.
Oh, no, you wanted to stay at home. Vastly entertaining that would have been.
But we never stay at home. I feel he gets tired of gadding about all the time, you know. Well, you agree, don't you, Rock?
Simply to be in the company of Donna is sufficient entertainment for me, Harry.
A fella likes his own hearth sometimes, damn it.
This everlasting bickering.
There's no need to stay, Donna, if you should prefer otherwise. Supper at the Swan, perhaps.
That's more like it. Good company at the Swan. Well, better than these dull fellows here.
I'm tired of the Swan. Besides, I feel like adventure.
What sort of adventure?
Any sort.
Perhaps a ride in Hampton Court. It'll be moonlight.
Why not?
Oh, hang it, brother. I don't feel like riding.
Then you drink your fill at the Swan, while Rockingham and I take the air at Hampton Court.
What? Oh, very well, Donna. I suppose, if that's what you want. Well, I shall walk home afterwards.
If you're able. Rockingham. We must call at your house on the way. I have an idea that will make it better still.
I know that look, Donna. What devilment are you planning now?
You will take care of her, Rock, old friend, won't you?
You may rely upon that, Harry.
Well, come along, Rockingham. I'll tell you as we go.
What's this? The boys taking to a highway robbery now?
Quiet, you dog, unless you want a bullet through your brains.
Why? Good evening, Countess. I had no idea we were in such company. Nonetheless, I must ask you for your purse, madam. Your purse or your honour?
But I don't understand, Donna. Why are you all dressed up like that? What was there, a masquerade?
No, there was no masquerade. Only mine. Listen, Harry, I'm going away, leaving London.
Going away? What for?
Because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the whole filthy place. I'm sick of St. James's Street and the noise and the stink. And I'm sick of those damned spaniels of yours.
Sick of Duke and Duchess, but they're beautiful little things. Beautiful.
And more than all that, I'm sick of myself. Sick of being bored and frustrated the whole time.
But why? Well, don't I give you everything you want?
Everything, Harry. But the one thing I value above all others, freedom. I feel like one of those birds one sees in beautiful cages. They have food and water, but no one understands they've lost the one thing they need most. Freedom.
Really, Donna, I've never heard you talk like this before. But don't I give you your freedom? Why, I sometimes think the other fellows laugh at me behind the back because of the freedom I allow you.
Harry, London is my prison and you are my jailer. There's no freedom for me here.
Well, damn it, you do pretty well as you please.
Oh, yes. And do you know what I was pleased to do tonight? You asked why I was dressed up like this. Well, I will tell you. I was playing at footpads with your precious Rockingham. We held up a carriage at Hampton Court, the Countess of Albemarle's carriage. And your wife, Lady Donna St. Collum, actually pointed a loaded pistol at an old woman's head and demanded her purse of her. Now do you understand the length to which boredom and frustration and disgust have driven me?
Good God, I just don't understand you, Donna. Really, truly, I don't.
And you never will. All you can understand is dogs, drinking and cards. Well, I tell you, I shall bear no more of this. I want you to send down to Navron and have the place opened up immediately. I shall be taking Prue and the children.
Navron? But Navron's in Cornwall. It's 300 miles away. Oh, you haven't seen it for years.
Nevertheless, it is my wish to go there. Perhaps I shall find what I'm seeking. Well, will you see to it at once?
Yes, Donna. I will. And I'll come with you.
You fool! You're part of what I want to escape from. I go, and I go alone.
The rooms have been airing, m'lady, but they've been closed for a long time. The notice was very short.
I don't remember you. There was an old man. He had rheumatism.
He is in his grave, m'lady.
And you replaced him?
Yes, m'lady. My name is William.
I want every room in the house swept, dusted, and flowers put in them. I want everything as though the mistress had been living here for many years.
It will be my personal pleasure, m'lady.
William, why is everything so unready? Almost as if the house had been empty all this time. I understood my husband always kept it fully staffed.
It seemed to me, m'lady, though possibly I was wrong, that one idle servant was sufficient. For the past year I've lived here alone.
I could dismiss you for that.
Yes, m'lady.
In fact, in the morning I probably will.
Yes, m'lady.
But supposing I do not dismiss you, what then?
Then I will serve you faithfully, m'lady.
How can I be sure of that?
I've always served faithfully the people I love.
Am I to take that as a compliment?
It was intended as one, m'lady.
What damned impertinence.
You play to your heart's content, Henrietta. Get your dress as dirty as you please. Here it simply doesn't matter.
But I don't want to get my dress dirty.
Well, then go and look after your brother and see he doesn't hurt himself.
Again, because those are teasers.
Yes, he may. Now, run along and play.
Come on, then.
Your chocolate, m'lady.
Oh, thank you, William.
I trust you step well.
Very well. You are not disturbed, I hope, by our arrival.
Oh, no, m'lady. I heard Master James cry once during the night. It seems strange the house has been silent so long.
You did not mind?
No, m'lady. I was the eldest of 13. There are always little ones arriving.
Is your home near here?
No, m'lady.
William?
Yes, m'lady.
Are you a reader?
A reader of books, m'lady. Oh, a nice note. Moths interest me. I have quite a collection of moths, but I'm no reader, m'lady.
Then perhaps you smoke?
Indeed, no, m'lady.
Now that is strange. If Navron has been empty but for yourself for the last year, and you neither read nor smoke, then what is a book of French poems and a jar of tobacco doing in the drawer of my bedside table?
Really, m'lady, I have no idea. Unless your husband left them there on one of his visits.
It's 3 years since Harry visited the estate. He doesn't smoke strong tobacco like that, and his initials are not J.B.A.
J.B.A. Why, of course not, m'lady.
Do those initials mean anything to you, William?
No, m'lady.
They were in the book. So who is J.B.A., who evidently lies in my bed, smoking his pipe and reading the poems of Ronsard?
Really, m'lady, I am at a loss to explain.
Yes, I can see that you are. But that is not quite the same as not knowing about it, is it, William?
Lord Godolphin to see you, m'lady.
Prue, take the children up to the nursery.
Yes, my lady. Now, come along now, Miss Henrietta.
Oh, it's not more
what my lady says. Off with you this instant.
Enchanted to see you, Lord Godolphin. Pray, take a seat.
Thank you. Yes. I had heard you were in residence, and I considered it a duty, or rather a pleasure, to pay my respects as soon as possible. I knew Harry very well when he lived here as a boy.
Indeed.
Yes. I may say that I used to count Harry one of my dearest friends, but since his marriage we see so little of him. He spends all his time in town.
I'm sorry to say Harry is not with me. I'm here alone.
That is a great pity. I had thought Harry could have given some assistance. You've heard of our troubles, no doubt.
I regret, no.
Perhaps you're too remote here for the talk to have reached you. The fact is, we've been vexed and harried with acts of piracy.
Piracy? Good gracious.
Yes, piracy, madam. I've complained to London and get no reply. They send us a handful of soldiers from the garrison at Bristol who are worse than useless. It's very unfortunate that Harry is not at Navron. Very unfortunate.
I don't see...
The only way we can deal with this damned Frenchman is for all the landowners to band together and fight him.
Frenchman, you say?
Yes, that's the plague of it. Hello, sneaking Frenchman who seems to know our coast like the back of his hand. He creeps into our harbours by night, seizes our goods, and is away on the morning tide while our fellows are still rubbing the sleep out of their eyes.
In short, he's far too clever for you.
Oh, why, yes, madam, if you like to put it that way.
Well, I don't see that Harry is likely to catch him. He's far too lazy.
We need heads in this business. The more the better. You do not realize, perhaps, how serious the matter is. Not only are we constantly robbed, but our women folk sleep in terror of their lives. Or worse.
Ooh, is he that sort of pirate?
Nothing has happened as yet. But as this fellow is a Frenchman, it's only a question of time before it does. When you next send messages to Harry, I trust you will remember me to him and give him some account of our trouble.
I'm not at home to anyone, William, especially to the local gentry.
It shall not occur again. You shall enjoy your solitude and make good your escape.
My escape?
I have learnt much from my late master and my lady, and I rather think he would term your arrival here as an escape.
Why did you leave your master, William?
At the moment, his life is such that my services are a little use to him. We decided I would do better elsewhere.
Then what does your late master do that you can no longer be of use to him?
He travels, lady.
Then he is also a fugitive.
In a manner of speaking.
I would like to meet your master. In fact, in his case, I will withdraw my command about visitors. Should he ever call to see his old servant, I will receive him.
Very good, milady. I will not forget.
Now, I wish you to ride to Lord Godolphin's with some flowers for his lady. She is unwell.
You wish me to take the flowers today, milady?
If you please, William.
Very well, milady. I'll tell the gardener to cut the flowers immediately.
Did you have a successful expedition last night, William?
Milady?
It was dark, of course. But I'm sure it was you I saw setting off towards the wood behind the lawn. About midnight? Collecting moths, I presume.
Moths? Oh, yes, precisely, milady. Yes, very successful, thank you, milady.
That was some man from the village you met by the trees. An assistant, perhaps?
Yes, milady, just a fellow from the village who helps me.
You won't forget the flowers, will you?
No, milady. Will there be anything else your ladyship requires in my absence?
No, thank you, William. Mm. I shall take a walk, I think. In the direction of the trees.
Perhaps you would prefer to speak English.
I think, sir, I could express myself perfectly well in educated French, though not in that degenerate dialect your men seem to prefer.
I'll permit me to correct you, madam. That degenerate dialect is the Breton language. And as I am a Breton myself, I would be obliged if you would refer to it with less condescension. Now then, It seems you have been spying on my ship.
On the contrary, you have been trespassing on my land.
Well, forgive me. Oh, I did not realize the Lady of Navarone House had called upon me. Oh, my very humble apologies.
I suppose it was by your orders I was seized and brought here.
Naturally, I need to know who comes to the creek simply to ensure my own safety. As a rule, no one does. You are not hurt, are you?
No.
Then what are you complaining about?
Do you know who I am?
You just told me. I must admit, though, of course, I knew your name and title already. And also, that you drink in the taverns with your husband's friends. Oh, yes, you have quite a reputation.
No.
Oh, is my information then not correct?
No, I meant not anymore. All that is over and done with.
Until you are tired of playing at the country life and the pleasures of the town lure you back again.
Why the devil should I put up with this?
Because you are my prisoner, and prisoners have to be interrogated. But allow me to introduce myself. Jean-Benoît Aubery at your service.
Otherwise, the French pirate who terrorizes the surrounding countryside.
Oh, you flatter me.
That was not my intention. What are you doing here? Why do you come to this part of the river?
I come here to do nothing. The creek is my refuge. Here I relax in idleness until I find the strength of mind to tear myself away again. And I love to draw. Birds, the curlews, the oyster catchers.
One day you'll be caught.
Perhaps.
It was you William met at the house last night.
You were very observant.
I just happened to be looking out of my window. I saw him running across the lawn to meet someone. Of course. And it was William who told you about me. Damnation, to think I almost trusted him.
Do you mind if I light a pipe? It is all very simple, really. I have no grudge against society. No bitter hatred of my fellow men. No, it just happens that piracy suits my particular bent of thought. The pleasure of making meticulous and lengthy plans and the spice of danger in their execution. It's all very absorbing, you know.
Yes. Yes, I suppose it must be. Yes, I can understand that. Good God, that smell.
Oh, there's tobacco. I'll put it out.
No, I like it. As a matter of fact, I've smelt it before. In my bedroom. Do you also read the poems of Ronsard?
Ah, so that's where they went. How very careless of me. And of William not to have noticed.
What audacity. You installed William at Navarone and had him send all the other servants away so that you could come and go as you please all the time we were in London.
No, not all the time. Only occasionally when it suited my plans. It can be damp in the creek in winter. The luxury of your bedroom is really too much to resist.
Oh, the very devil.
Forgive me, but I did consult your portrait on the wall. My lady, I said most respectfully, would you grant a weary Frenchman the comfort of your bed? And it seemed to me that from your portrait you bowed gracefully and gave your permission.
It was very irregular and dangerous.
Ah, perhaps that was part of it. Forgive me again, but while we have been talking, I've been making this drawing of you. Just a quick sketch.
It's very clever, but I don't think I like it.
Why not?
You've made me look older than I am. There's a curious frown and something petulant about the mouth.
Ah, true. But you see, you have what every artist desires. Your face reflects exactly what is going through your mind.
I did not realize that other people saw me like this. It's an expression I know well from my mirror, but I thought I could hide it. I feel ashamed, though I had some sort of disfigurement.
No, not so much a disfigurement as a face masking two Donna Saint-Colombes, which you then will you show at any one moment.
You certainly go straight to the heart of your subject.
I try to be thorough in everything I do.
Well then, what do you propose to do with me?
To let you go. What else?
According to Lord Godolphin, you might do almost anything. Huh. And how do you know that I won't go straight to him and tell him where he can find you?
Well, I could be mistaken, but somehow I don't think you will. Besides, if you will kindly sign on as a member of the ship's company, why, you could hardly betray your comrades, how could you?
Sign on as a... Hmm? What a ridiculous idea.
And therefore, to the Lady Donna Saint-Colombe, quite irresistible.
Give me your pen.
Huh?
There. Am I the first woman to join your crew?
And the last.
Would you like to dine with me, Monsieur Aubrey? It would have to be late after all but William have gone to bed.
I thank you for the invitation, but for the sake of caution, I would rather you dine with me.
On board?
No. In the woods here by the creek. Have you ever eaten chicken roasted out of doors over a wood fire? Eaten it with your fingers?
No, never.
How does the idea appeal to you?
Very much.
Tomorrow night, then.
Tomorrow night.
Good.
The fact is, we believe the Frenchmen to have a hiding place along the coast. Somebody must know of this, and whoever it is, they're holding their tongues.
Quite scandalous. But have you not made quite a thorough search?
My dear Lady St. Colin, we are forever combing the districts. But as you must have heard, the fellow is as slippery as an eel, like all Frenchmen. You have, I suppose, seen nothing of a suspicious nature around Navron?
Nothing whatever.
I have no wish to alarm you, but it is possible, you know, that the Frenchman has used Helford River in the past, and may do so again. I must admit that I am most concerned about you alone there at Navron.
That's very thoughtful of you. But I can, if necessary, bolt and bar my house. And with neighbours such as yourselves, I'm sure that no harm can come to you.
You are very flattering, ma'am. But I shall not be easy in my mind until I see that man hanging from the tallest tree in my park. By the way, I trust your coachman is reliable.
William, I trust him with my life. The fact of the matter is, William, these people are beginning to wake up. They're talking of banding together against a certain French gentleman, and they have their suspicions of the river. Do you think he's aware of the danger?
I think so, m'lady.
And yet he continues to anchor in the creek. Does he always stay as long as this? It's been nearly a month.
No, m'lady, 5 or 6 days is his usual visit.
What story did he tell us, Navron?
That you will be staying to dine at his lordship's and would be late.
Where will you stable the horses?
And it's all arranged for. I've got friends at Wick, m'lady.
And where shall I change my gown?
I thought your ladyship would not be averse to changing behind a tree.
How very considerate of you, William. Have you chosen the tree?
I have gone so far as to mark one down, m'lady. There you are. That wide one there, m'lady, the oak. He is waiting for you.
We shall go downriver with the tide, William, and I will walk back to Navron from the creek.
Yes, m'lady.
What are you smiling at?
I was not aware, m'lady, that my features were in any way relaxed.
William, you are a liar. Goodbye.
Goodbye, m'lady.
Would you like me to fix the worm on the hook for you?
No, no. I shall not be beaten.
Oh. Yes. It's fallen off altogether now. Why must women be so helpless at these things? What's the matter? Don't you want to fish any more?
Of course I do. I want my supper. But I was thinking about this afternoon at Lord Godolphin's. You should not stay here anymore. Godolphin says that the country people know you have a hiding place.
Well, very possibly.
And that someday, someone will betray you and the creek will be surrounded.
No, I'm quite prepared for that. Look, if you don't want to land that fish on your line, then give it to me.
But I do want to land it.
And haul in your line, no? Gently. Gently. Surely not enough.
Oh,
don't
oh, snatch good. It. Oh, damnation.
You were too quick.
Perhaps there'll be another one. When shall we build our fire?
When we have caught our supper.
You're hungry?
Yes. What's that?
Nightjar.
There, the fish is ready now.
Did you bring something to drink?
Of course.
I do not forget that you are used to supping at the Swan.
What do you know of my suppers at the Swan?
That you dine cheek by jowl with the ladies of the town, and then go on the rampage like a boy of 15 returning home in the early hours of the morning.
So that's what you think of me?
I only think that perhaps we are driven by a similar spirit, you and I. Although I must own, I don't hold up old ladies.
Oh, I hated myself after that. That was why I came down here. And now? Now I hardly know myself.
The country air has had its effect.
Not just the country air. Learning that one can be daring and adventurous and not despise oneself afterwards.
Hmm. Tomorrow I shall begin to plan again. Your friends, Eustick and Godolphin, shall have a run for their money. I shall see if I can bring them into the open.
What will you do?
I think I shall make another landing along the coast.
And risk being caught? And perhaps even being put to death?
Yes.
But why? In God's name, why? When all you need to do is sail back to France on the next tide.
Because I want the satisfaction of proving that my head is better than theirs.
That's a ridiculous reason. It's nothing but sheer conceit.
No, I agree.
You'll be leading your men into something very dangerous. And La Mouette may be sunk or captured, when she could be lying peacefully in a harbour across the channel.
La Mouette was not built to lie peacefully in harbour. Yes, it's a pity you are not a boy. You could have come with me.
Couldn't a woman come with you?
No, you would be cold, uncomfortable, and probably the capital. You'd be seasick.
No, I wouldn't.
Well, even if you weren't all that, you'd beg me to put you ashore just when everything was beginning to work out all right.
How much will you wager that I am sick, cold, and uncomfortable, and beg to be put ashore?
Well, what have we to offer one another?
I will wager my ruby earrings.
I'm flattered. And what will you demand of me should you win?
A lock from Godolphin's wig.
You shall have the wig itself. I shall have to sail with the wind and the tide. You realize that. It will mean leaving before dawn.
I shall be ready.
You know Philip Rashley.
I've heard him spoken of.
He married the sister of Lord Godolphin, but that is by the way. Rashley is expecting a ship from the Indies. A fact which came to my ears too late, otherwise I should have taken steps to meet her. As it is, I presume the Mary Fortune to have arrived at Foy Harbor. My intention is to seize her with a prize crew on board and have them sail her to France.
But supposing her men outnumber yours?
That is the sort of risk I am always taking. The essential thing is the element of surprise. My men are not idle, you know. They move about the countryside, those that speak English. And that is how I know how to lay my plan. What are you cold?
No.
Come below.
You have remembered that you are Donna Saint-Colombe and not the cabin boy of La Mouette, huh?
Yes.
That at this moment you are engaged in an act of piracy against your own countrymen. You see the shame it would bring to yourself, to your husband, your children, if you're caught.
Yes.
It's always unwise to set forth upon an adventure with a cold heart and an empty stomach, unless, of course, one is used with trinkets.
Won't you?
No, I shall drink when we return. And, here, eat some of this cold meat and cheese. Only be quick, for time is running short.
Thank you.
Here. Look at this chart. Hmm? This is Foy Haven. The main anchorage is here, opposite the town. Rashley's vessel would be by here. Where the ships always lie moored to a buoy at the entrance to this creek. I'm leaving some of the crew aboard, La Mouette. You can stay with them if you wish.
No. No, up on the deck just now, I would have said yes, but not now, not anymore.
Very well. Now, you'll see from this map that there's a fort at the entrance to the haven, which is manned. And in spite of the dark night, it would be unwise to attempt a passage by boat. I cannot guarantee that every man in the fort will have his eyes shut for my benefit. So, there is nothing for it but to go over land. Now, we are lying here, at a mile or so to the east, and I propose going ashore here, up on this beach. There is a rough path up the cliffs. Then we strike inshore and to a creek, at the entrance to which, as I've already said, lies Rashley's vessel. Can you climb cliffs?
Oh, I could climb better if you'd lend me a pair of breeches.
Ah, that is what I thought. Now, here is a pair belonging to Pierre Blanc. He keeps some more saints' days and confessions, so this should be clean enough. Here's a shirt, too, and stockings and shoes.
Should I cut off my hair?
I Perhaps you would look more like a cabin boy, but I would rather risk capture than have you do it. Yeah, use the sash to tie up your hair. Come up on deck when you're ready, and don't be too long.
Is this the creek?
Be quiet a moment.
What is it? What's the matter?
The weather has made us false. The wind is back to the southwest. But we must go back with Pierre to La Mouette.
But why?
Because the men I left on board will be making ready to beat out of the bay. Now you and Pierre will just have time to row back before they get sailor.
It's going to be difficult getting back to the ship away now that the wind has changed. And you want me to go back in case there's trouble?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going.
There is no time to argue, and that is an order. You are to return to La Mouette.
Oh, damnation, can't you see why I want to stay?
That is precisely why I want you to go back.
And which is it to be?
There is a way you can help me if you would.
But what is it?
That we're actually on board his ship.
What?
Listen. When the wind was off the land, we could have sailed the Mary Fortune out of Foy Haven while everyone was still rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. Now we shall have to beat out, and Rashleigh will be safer on board his own ship than raising hell on shore.
But what do you want me to do?
But go with Pierre Blanc and take the nearest boat you can along the creek. Then I want you to row across to Foy Town and call on Philip Rashleigh.
Yes, but which is his house?
The one right next to the church facing the quay.
And what do I tell him?
Anything, so long as you get him aboard. Make up any story you like, only tell him that his presence is urgently required. But remember, keep in the shadows. You don't look much like a boy under the light. Will you do it?
Yes. And what will you be doing meanwhile?
Oh, we shall be taking a little swim out to the Mary Fortune. Oars have a nasty habit of creaking at the wrong moment.
What do you want? Don't you know it's close on midnight and everyone's about?
Mr. Rashford is wanted, sir. I'm from the Mary Fortune, sir. The master's anxious to move her before the gale gets worse.
Who is it? Quiet, raising the devil. Come inside, boy. Can't you?
No, sir. I'm a bit wet, sir.
The devil is a devil. Love you, Thomas.
Don't slink off, young fellow. Can't you hear Mr. Rashleigh but talk to you?
Let me go, sir. I've got another message to deliver. My mother's ill and I have to run for a physician.
What's all this nonsense? Jim Thomas's mother has been in a grave these 10 years. Who are you, boy?
You must come, sir. The master wants you on board at once. The ship's in danger.
He's right about the gale. Target it. I told you should have motored up the river. Hey, you, boy. Come back.
Make haste, Mr. Rashleigh! Make haste! Your ship's in danger!
Boy, I say, let him go! Let's see if there's any truth in what he says!
Hold there! Watchman! Have you seen a lad run this way?
No, sir! But the sum of the mist out yonder! Looks as though your vessel's broken from the buoy!
Oh, my God, you're right!
Look, sir! They're getting sail on her! The master must be going to take him up the river.
The fellow's crazy. They've got a dozen men aboard. Watchman, the bell from people. Quick, before he has her aground.
Aren't you there, Mr. Rashleigh?
What in the name of your mighty descent, Thomas, think he's doing? Ahoy, there! Merry Fortune! Ahoy!
Anything wrong?
Put your creases on, damn you, and get your brother, too. The Merry Fortune is adrift out there. Are in the harbor?
Oh, by God, we'll be
all
waiting, sir.
You go. Get me a boat, Santo. Put me aboard, one of you. Put me aboard.
Look, she's out there. The tides think you're under the rock. They must be mad aboard of that car.
Mr. Rashleigh, sir, they're in the boat to the yard. Someone's got them all adrift.
What then?
Everyone
is under
a ship. There's nothing there.
By God, I knew it, Ashley. Oh, I knew it.
Let's swim, one of you. Swimman, bring me a boat.
Aye, aye, sir.
I'll thresh the little baby, quick, the dolphin, if once I lay my hands on him. I'll have him hanged.
I've got you a boat, sir. But she's half full of water. Are you coming?
Just any minute. The dolphin, are you with me?
To the death, if need be.
And one of you, turn to the fort. Tell them they're fired over her bows as she parted.
Yes,
and hurry, damn you, or they'll be too late.
Yes, sir.
I work, madame. A real chaos in the cold.
She's turning towards the open sea.
Yes, the wind changed a couple of points and where they won her.
Someone's won the fort.
Do not worry about that. Look, they are coming to pick us up.
Quick, throw yourself down on the deck. He may fire again.
Where's Rashley?
About 10 feet away in a rowing boat and looking very indignant.
And the dolphin? Oh, don't let us all wave.
I won't. Pierre, take the wheel. I'll swing into the chains and make a collection.
Be careful. The dolphin has a musket.
Coming aboard.
Look there.
Greetings to you, gentlemen, and a safe passage back to Boy.
You impudent scoundrel, go!
Get down, Admiral! I'm trying to get a shot at him!
I'm sorry, I have to tell you, I seem to be unharmed. But we would like something to remember you by. Oblige me for a moment by not moving your head, Lord Godolphin, just for an instant. I should hate to deprive you of an ear.
Oh! My wig! The devil got my wig on his sword! I got my jacket cold! Ask me! Do something! I saw your hand on his knife!
Are you awake yet?
Yes, I think so. What time is it?
You mean, what day is it? You've been snoring away there for a day and a half.
A day and a half? I do not snore.
Oh, well, we won't argue about that.
Oh, now I remember. I've lost my earrings. I was sick.
That was quite a game. I came down once to see how you were. You threw your pillow at me and damned me to hell.
I did not. I never saw a soul.
Oh, you would not remember. You were too far gone. But to answer your question, it is about 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. My Lord Godolphin will have missed his morning in church. That is, unless there is a good barber in Foy.
Oh?
Look, above your head.
His wig! His whole wig!
And upon this tray, I have a most succulent chicken. Can you eat a wing, do you think?
Oh, I should say so. I've never been so hungry in my life. It's delicious.
Wine.
Please. We realize, I suppose, we might both have been hanging from that tree in the Dolphin's Park.
Oh, we undoubtedly should, but for that slant of wind from the west.
You have forgotten the reward of Mary Fortune. Where's Lamouette?
A couple of miles away, becalmed like us.
You always have the devil's own luck.
Always.
I'm glad I did it. But I'm glad it's over, too. I couldn't go through it again. It was foolish.
You didn't do too badly for a cabin boy.
How long should we stay in the Mary Fortune?
Oh, until there is enough wind to sail her across to Britain. Then we shall return in Lamouette.
I wonder how the children are. I asked William to give James a second helping of strawberries, if he should desire them very much. But afterwards, in the pantry when Prue wasn't looking. I wonder if you remember.
Sure, you can have every confidence in William.
We might swim in the schooner.
Yes, we might. Now you're finished. Give me this flashlight.
I cannot get up until my clothes are dry.
Oh, no.
Will they be very long out there in the sun?
At least another 3 hours, let's see.
Oh, perhaps you could lower a boat and send Pierre Blanc to La Mouette on a proper clothes.
Oh, Pierre, he is asleep, all asleep. Don't you know that Frenchmen like to be idle between 1 and 5 in the afternoon?
No. It must be a custom peculiar to your countrymen.
Ah.
But in the meanwhile, what are we going to do until my clothes are dry?
Well, then, in France, they would tell you there is only one thing we could do. But perhaps that also is a custom peculiar to my country.
If we wished, this could be forever.
No.
Donna Saint-Colombe is not Donna the cabin boy. She has a life in another world, remember?
No. Always this. A fire, supper we've cooked, and your hand against my heart.
But women like birds must make their nest, build their home and have their babies.
What if I sailed with you now and never returned to Naples?
Oh, regrets, perhaps, and disillusion.
Never. Not with you.
Oh, you're very complimentary, but still the building of nests, the rearing of broods, still the instinct would be there. I should have to sail alone again once more.
Yes. Yes, I suppose you're right. There's no escape for a woman. Do you know what day it is?
Midsummer day. The longest in the year.
So tonight we should sleep here, in the woods by the creek. Because for us it will never happen again, I think.
This is why I brought the blankets. And the pillow for your head.
Yes. You really are far in your planning. Tomorrow, very early, I shall go to Narbonne and call William before the household is astir. If all is well with the children, then there's no need for me to stay. I will come back here again to the creek.
And then?
That is for you to say. Done lies the plan. Planning so often goes astray.
My plans don't.
But this is not an act of crime.
Sir Harry has come, lady.
Oh, no.
And Lord Rockingham is with him. They arrived about 8.
Why have they come?
I gather that Sir Harry is becoming restless in London without you, and the word from Lord Rockingham decided him. It seems his lordship met a relative of Lord Godolphin's at Whitehall, who told him that Sir Harry's presence here was urgently required.
Yes, that would be Rockingham. But what did you tell Sir Harry? How did you keep him from my room?
I told him that you had been in bed for several days with a high fever, and the slightest disturbance would be extremely prejudicial to your recovery, as you were just gaining a measure of sleep.
And he believed you?
Oh, he swore a trifle at first and cursed me for not having sent for him, but I explained that it was your ladyship's strict orders that he was not to be told.
Supposing I had not returned?
Oh, no doubt I would have arrived at some decision, my lady. Although the problem was a little hard.
And my Lord Rockingham, what did he say to all this?
He said very little, my lady. He appeared disappointed that you were not able to receive them. And it seemed to interest him that no one was looking after you but myself. I observed that his lordship looked upon me with curiosity, my lady.
He would, William. Lord Rockingham has that sort of mind.
Yes, my lady.
Oh, it's strange. I had thought to breakfast with your master in the creek, and swim and fish and cook our supper again as we did last night. And now all that is finished and done with.
But not for long, my lady. You'll be together again soon.
Thank you, William. You're very understanding.
My lady.
Now I shall go to my room and get into bed. And later you shall call me with my breakfast. And when I'm sufficiently prepared for the ordeal, I will see Harry and find out how long he's going to stay. When somehow, in some way, word must be sent to your master in the creek.
Leave that to me, my lady.
Sit down, you little devils. You duchess, can't you see your mistress is ill? Oh, you little
rascal. I do declare, Harry, you make almost more ado than the dogs themselves.
How are you? Are you better? How did you get this confounded fever? Have you a kiss for me? You don't look very ill. Here I was, expecting to find you at death's door itself from what that fellow told me. Well, what sort of servant is he, anyway? I'll dismiss him if you don't like him.
William is a treasure.
Ah, well, so long as he pleases you, that's all that matters. Oh, what's the matter, old things? Bored, are you? Here, fetch the mistress's supper. Go on, to bed. Oh, well done, Duke. Well done, Duchess. Come in. And again.
Harry, no. I cannot bear that scuffling and yapping. Please keep them under control or else send them out of the room.
Sorry, my love. Of course, you've been ill, haven't you? You should never have left London. London suits you. It's been damn dull without you. Not a play worth seeing. And I nearly lost a fortune at fete the other night. Well, the king has a new mistress. Haven't seen her yet.
Rockingham's here, you know. God damn it, he said to me, let's go down to Navarone and see what Donna's up to. And here you are, a confounded invalid in bed.
I'm much better, Harry. It was only a passing thing.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. You have a tan on you, haven't you? Well, you're as dark as a gypsy.
The illness must have made me yellow.
I've bought a new horse, by the way. Chestnut. Devil of a temper, but she covers the ground all right. So, the country's infested with pirates, is it? And robbery and rape and violence are abroad.
Where did you hear that?
Well, Rockingham brought back a story in town one day. Met a cousin of George Godolphin's. How is Godolphin?
A little out of temper when I last saw him.
I should think. He sent me a letter a while back, which I forgot to answer. And now his brother-in-law has lost a ship. Do you know Philip Rashford?
No.
Oh, well, you'll meet him soon. I invited him over here. We met him in Helston yesterday with a fellow called Eustick. Oh, they were in a devil of a temper. Seems this infernal Frenchman sailed the vessel straight out of Foy Harbour, right under their noses. Oh, God knows what she's worth. She was just home from the Indies.
Why did you invite Philip Rashleigh here?
Well, it was Rockingham's idea, really. Well, he's quite right. I am an authority in this part of the world, so we'll hold a meeting, I thought, and set a trap for this Frenchman. And when we've caught him, we'll string him up somewhere and give you a laugh.
So, you think you'll succeed where others have failed?
Oh, Rockingham will think of something. Well, I know, damned youth. I haven't got a brain in my head, thank God. Here, Donna, when are you going to get up?
When you've left the room.
I don't get much fun out of my wife, do I, J.K.? Hey, come on, fetch a slipper. Where is he, Paula? Come on, don't fetch.
Oh, you had a fever, Donna. At all events, it was a most becoming fever.
That's what I say, Rock. I told her so upstairs. Tan on her like a gypsy. Come along, Henrietta. Come along, James. Let's play hide-and-seek among the flower beds. Come along.
You don't appear very delighted to see me.
Why should I?
I suppose I did something to offend you after that bit of fun in Hampton Court.
No, Rockingham, you did nothing.
What have you been doing with yourself down here?
I've been very happy. When I left London, I told Harry I wanted to be left alone. I'm very angry with you for breaking my peace.
Ah, but we've not come entirely on pleasure. We propose catching the pirate who seems to be giving you all so much trouble.
And how do you intend doing that?
Oh, well, we shall see. Harry is quite excited at the idea. He's been getting bored with nothing to do.
How long will you stay?
Until we've caught the Frenchman.
He's gone back to France.
What makes you so sure?
Well, if he's just taken Rashleigh's vessel, we must have.
Ah, yes, but Thomas Eustick says that a fishing boat reported seeing a vessel in the early hours of yesterday morning making for the English coast.
Some merchantman returning from abroad.
And a fisherman thought not. I suppose there are many creeks and inlets round your coast here?
No doubt. Harry could tell you better than I.
And the country hereabouts is sparsely inhabited. Navarone is the only big house in the district, I understand.
What of it?
If I were a pirate, and if I knew Navarone was about masculine protection, and the lady of the house was as beautiful as you, Donna.
Yes, Rockingham.
Knowing all these things, if I were a pirate, I should be most tempted to return to the district again and again.
But you're not a pirate, Rockingham. You're only a grossly spoiled, overdressed, exceedingly decadent member of the aristocracy, with a too great fondness for women and alcohol. So shall we drop the subject? I'm becoming rather bored.
There was a time when you were not bored either by me or my conversation. Do you remember a certain evening at Vauxhall?
I remember many evenings at Vauxhall. And one in particular, when you had the audacity to kiss me, and I was too idle to protest. I disliked you ever afterwards, and myself even more so.
What a delightful speech. The Cornish air has made you almost venomous. Or possibly it is the result of the fever.
Possibly.
Were you as churlish as this to the manservant who attended you?
You'd better ask him.
If I were Harry, I should ask him many questions and all of an exceedingly personal nature.
What's this? What's this? Oh, God damn it, it's hot. What are you discussing, both of you?
We were discussing your manservant. It's strange that Donna would permit no one else to attend her.
Quiet, Duchess.
Yes.
damned strange, now you mention it. I wouldn't trust him too far, Donna. What do you see in the fellow?
He's the only servant in the house with any degree of intelligence, and I determined I should be nursed by him and no one else.
Extremely pleasant for the manservant.
Yes, hang it. The fellow might have taken infernal liberties, Donna. I've a mind to dismiss him.
We will do no such thing. William shall remain in my service for as long as it pleases me.
All right. No need to be so tricky about it. Oh, good God, ma'am. Oh, do you have to go creeping about like that? What do you want?
A letter from Lord Godolphin, Sir Harry. His man has just brought it and waits for an answer.
Oh. What's old George want, I wonder? I say, Rock. The hounds are gathering. Oh, we shall have some fun out of this. He and Rashley and Eustace want half a dozen others to come and join us for supper tonight, because they have a plan to catch the froggy at last.
What answer will you give?
Well, they can come, of course. Well, you need a bit of company to stop you getting so edgy. You, William, tell my Lord Godolphin's man that her ladyship and I will be delighted to receive him and the other gentlemen for supper this evening.
Yes, my lord.
Where are you going, Donna?
With a dozen for supper tonight, I have fields to see to. Do you think this place runs itself entirely without direction from its mistress?
Damn me if I'll ever understand Donna, Rock, old friend. Always so damn tricky, you know.
I thought the manservant looked as though he might be sickening for a fever himself.
Eh? Oh, can't say I noticed. Hey, I say, look at this, Rock. Now, Duchess has another patch of eczema here. Oh, that damn pomade I'm trying is no use at all.
I was taking a look at your chestnut in the stable this morning.
Yes? A beauty, isn't she?
Fell into conversation with the groom. The subject of the excellent William cropped up. You noticed what an unusual accent he has? Quite a foreign intonation.
Yes, I suppose he has. But that's the Cornish way of speech, isn't it?
According to the groom, he's not a Cornishman at all.
William, what's the matter? We can't do anything, can they, those men? Will Larmoworth will have sailed?
No, my lady, she will not have sailed.
What? Why not?
She'd been pierced by a rock below the waterline. I went down to the creek to explain why you had not returned this morning. And I found the ship had grounded with the morning tide. They're working on her now, but she won't be fit to sail for 24 hours.
But is there nothing we can do?
Nothing, my lady, except hope and pray.
I know where William is. Why did they look for him?
They have looked. The fella has simply disappeared. And here we are with George Godolphin and the rest coming to supper and no wine. I tell you, Donna, I won't handle it. I shall sack him, you know.
He will come back. There's plenty of time.
Oh, confounded impudence! Look here, Donna. Am I going to be allowed in here tonight?
I thought you were going to be employed in catching pirates.
Oh, that'll all be over by midnight or soon after. Godolphin and Eustace are pretty confident he's hiding on the river somewhere, and there are men posted on either side of it, from here to the headland. He won't get away this time.
And what part do you propose to play in this valiant escapade?
Oh, that should be look along and come into the kill. But you haven't answered my question.
It hardly arises. Name what state you're usually in after midnight. My bed or under the dining room table's all one to you.
That's only because you're so damned hard on me.
Shut the door, Harry. I want to sleep.
Sleep be damned. You'll always want to sleep. It's been your answer to me under every circumstance for God knows how long.
Oh, God, what's happening down there? Who's that? Who's there?
It's I, William, my lady.
William.
I waited until I was sure Sir Harry had gone downstairs before I ventured to knock.
How did this happen?
Don't touch me, my lady. You'll soil your gun. Coming back through the woods, I was seen by one of Lord Godolphin's men and he challenged me. I managed to evade him but received this scratch on the arm. Unfortunate in view of my master's plan.
Lie down on the bed.
Oh, my lady, I...
Do as I say. I have water and linen here. His wounds need attention.
My lady, you should not do this for me.
Lie still and rest.
At least I saw him and told him that Lord Godolphin and the others were supping here tonight and had plans to catch him.
What did he say?
He said, "I tell your mistress, I'm in no way disturbed, and that La Mouette has need of a cabin boy."
What would you do, George, with a servant who takes the night off when his master has guests for supper?
Listen, what else?
To thrust him into the bargain. Ah, that's all very well, you stick, but the blasted fella is a pet of Donner's.
Oh, you know, where did he put it? I've been meaning to ask you,
Donner, how you enjoyed your walk this afternoon. Find it wet in the woods after that shower?
Your interest in my movement verges on the impertinent, Rockingham. Mr. Rashley, more wine?
Hmm? Yes, thank you. Forgive me for staring at you so closely, ladies and Colomb, but I can swear I have seen you before. Yet I cannot for the life of me recollect the time or the place.
It must have been when I came here as a bride, 6 years ago.
No, it's an inflection in your voice, I believe. And I've heard it not so long ago. Why?
But Donna has that effect on every man. You will find, my dear Rashleigh, that it will keep you awake at night.
Were you ever in Foy, ladies and Colomb?
Never, to my certain knowledge.
You've heard, I suppose, how I was robbed there.
Yes, indeed. So very distressing for you. And you have had no news of your ship since?
Never a word. She's not in a French port now, and no legal means of extracting her. That's what comes of having a king who speaks better French than he does English. However, I hope to settle accounts tonight, once and for all.
And you, my Lord Godolphin, were you also involved in the loss of Mr. Rashleigh's ship?
I was, madam.
Oh, but I trust you received no hurt.
The rascals were too glad to show us their heels, like every Frenchman, rather than face up to an honest fight.
And was their leader really the desperate man you've led me to believe?
20 times worse, madam. The most bloodthirsty, evil-looking rogue I've ever clapped eyes upon.
You had a woman aboard the Mary Fortune?
What?
Yeah, I saw her as plain as I see you now. A bold-faced baggage, if ever there was one. Some harlot from the French docks, no doubt.
And there was a boy who came knocking on Philip's door, had a womanish cut about him. That was most unpleasing. Well, take the oath, he had a hand in it.
Gentlemen, we have wasted time enough. Have you all forgotten we've met tonight on very desperate business?
Yes,
quite right, you think.
Do you wish me to go, gentlemen?
Oh, nonsense. Let my wife stay at her own table, damn it.
Harry, the time for jesting is over. We could talk more freely if you weren't here, madam.
But of course, I would not dream of hindering you in any way.
Who the devil's that? Someone 2.5 hours late for supper? A girl, open the door, someone! Oh, where the deuce are all the servants?
Harry, why do you tolerate this laziness?
Thomas, one of you, what are you doing?
Hello there, you all asleep in the kitchen? Someone has blown out the candles. It's as black as pitch in the passage.
Did you tell your servants to go to bed, Harry?
To bed? No. You're sure they're not in the kitchen, Rod? Give him another call, there's a good chap.
I tell you, there's not a light anywhere.
Damnation, then I will see who it is, since no one else will.
There must be one of our people come to report. One of the men we posted in the woods. No.
Who else for Navron House? You'll be my robbery interested, gentlemen. Keep the door, you see, whoever you are. I have men on the staircase behind you, you will observe, while another not to be underestimated because of his flighting capacity as his cutlass at the throat of my Lord Rockingham in the passageway to the kitchen.
What were all those men doing in the woods? To let you get this far without so much as raising the alarm.
Well, I have often noticed that the Cornish man is fond of his sleep and a little carefulness now if I secured the rest for us. Frankly, see the gentleman, I will not keep you long. Yeah. As for her lordship, she may please herself, but first, she must give me the rubies she wears in her ears. I have a wager about them with my cabin boy. Thank you. A Lord Godolphin, I believe. Yeah. Last time we met, I relieved you of your wig. This time, perhaps I might take something a little more substantial. Ribbon and star at your breast, I think. Your sword also is something I can't leave upon your person. Well, 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 Mr. Rashleigh, good evening, sir. You are looking a trifle less warm than when I saw you last. I must thank you for the gift of the Merry Fortune, a splendid vessel
So I hardly think you would recognize her now. Your sword, sir, if you please. And what is this you have in your pockets?
You'll pay for this, God damn you!
Possibly, but at the moment it is you who are paying. Sir Harry, observe that while I take a glass of your wine, I'm sure you would wish me to help myself, observe that my men still have you all covered and are also relieving some among you of a few superfluous items. Oh. Yes, you have a fair cellar, Sir Harry. But I would advise you to keep this wine a year or two longer. It is a wine that will improve.
Get him, damnation. Of all of that,
it's a very fine ring you are wearing, sir. Not a single flaw, which is very rare in emerald. However, I will not take it. I've robbed you enough.
What? What the devil did I tell you? Now, gentlemen, I have one last request to make. It is perhaps a little indelicate, but under the circumstances, very necessary. You see, I wish to return to my ship and to have you raise the alarm and give chase would somewhat prejudice my plans. In short, I must ask you, please, to take off your breeches and to hand them off to my men. Your shoes. I do regret the necessity, but I'm sure you appreciate the finesse of the arrangement.
By heaven, no, do not make game of us enough.
No, I'm sorry, but it is a matter of necessity. Take comfort from the fact that the night is warm. Ladies, I go along. Perhaps you would be good enough to go into the salon. These gentlemen here will not care to undress themselves before you in public, no matter how much they may wish to do so in private.
Oh, go on, Tonner. Do as the fellow says. You must want to see us all murdered before your eyes.
Very sensibly spoken, Sir Harry. I will give you 5 minutes, but no more. Dear Blanche, you look Raoul. Keep a close watch upon these gentlemen. And while they are disrobing, her ladyship and I will discuss the affairs of the day.
Why are you so reckless? Don't you know the woods are thick with Godolphin's men?
Yes, but as in all my undertakings, the most hazardous performance is usually the most successful. Besides, I had not kissed you for nearly 24 hours.
What did you think when I did not come for breakfast?
Well, there's little time to think. Pierre Blanc woke me just after sunrise to tell me La Mouette was aground and taking in water. And later on, William came down with the news that your husband was back. Then, of course, when he came the second time to tell me of your party here, I decided what to do. We'd already noticed some clumsy fools hanging about the woods and hills, but they had not found the creek. Oh, La Mouette will sail within 2 hours if all goes well. The patch on her side is rough, but it must hold until she reaches the French coast. I shall have to take William, I'm afraid. With that cut on his arm, he'd soon be recognized, and Eustique would have him hanged without a scruple. Yes?
The gentlemen have done as you wish, monsieur.
Tell Pierre Blanc to tie their hands behind their backs, escort them to the bedrooms and lock them in, huh?
Very good, monsieur.
And William, how is your arm?
Trifling painful, monsieur, but not seriously, sir.
That is good, because I want you to take her ladyship by carriage to that spit of sand 3 miles this side of Coverack. And there, await further orders.
I understand, monsieur. Now we go on to cease with Pierre Blanc.
What are you going to do?
This morning when I was working on the ship, I realized that our make-believe was over. La Mouette must sail other waters and find different hiding places. But although she will be free and her crew will be free, her master will remain captive. For I am bound to you, Donna, even as you are bound to me.
But it's too late. There's nothing we can do. We agreed that last night.
Yes. Last night, when we had no cares and we were together in the morning, was hours away. When a man holds the present in his arms, he can afford not to think about the future. And when the morning came and you were not by my side, I knew that for me to escape was impossible. I had become like a prisoner in chains, and the dungeon was deep.
So what is the answer?
I do not know. But one thing is clear. You are the wife of an English baronet and the mother of 2 children. And I am a Frenchman, an outlaw, and an enemy of your country. If there is an answer, Donna, you must make it, not me. That is why I've asked William to take you to the cove. If we all get back to the ship safely and leave with the tide, we should be off Coverack by sunrise. I will be put off in a boat to have your answer. And if there is no sign of us by daylight, you will know that something has gone wrong.
Captain.
Ah, here's a toast or two.
Oh, I was forgetting. Yeah. Here are your jewels. And now, au revoir.
Au revoir. I must see if William's arm needs bathing. He must be upstairs in his room. Rockingham.
Did I startle you? I beg your pardon.
What are you doing with that knife? And there's blood on your shirt. Are you hurt?
No, I'm not hurt. I refuse to surrender my breeches to a Frenchman without so much as a struggle. Better sit down. A glass of wine, perhaps.
No, thank you.
I see your jewels have been returned to you. I was wondering what you had to surrender in that place.
You've become very serious, Rockingham. I should have thought this evening's jest would have amused you well.
You're right. It bears a curious likeness to the pranks we used to play at Hampton Court. Yes, it amused me much. But that Donna St. Column should look upon the leader of the jesters in the way that she did. No, that I did not find amusing.
And what business is it of yours how I look upon him or any man?
It is my business because in a flash I understood much that had puzzled me since my arrival here. The friendliness between you and that servant, a spy of the Frenchman's, of course. Those walks of yours, those wanderings in the woods. And above all, that look in the eye. That elusive look that I've never seen before. Elusive to me, to Harry, to all but one man. And that man I've seen tonight. Do you deny it?
I deny nothing.
You know that you could be imprisoned for this, and possibly hanged, should the truth come out. What a very pleasant ending for Donna St. Column. You've never been inside a jail, have you?
If you're trying to frighten me, you're not succeeding.
I thought it only wise to remind you of what might happen.
And all this because my Lord Rockingham fancies I smiled upon a pirate when he asked for my jewels. Well, that's a Godolphin, or Rashleigh, or Eustace, or Harry even. See what they'd say. They'd say you were mad. And must you do that with that knife? It jars on my nerves.
I beg your pardon. But suppose your Frenchman were caught and brought before you and we played with him a little, as we played with prisoners some 100 years ago, Donna. I rather believe you'd give yourself away.
It pleases you to be so dramatic, but the days of the thumbscrew and the rack are over.
But our pirates are hanged, drawn, and quartered, and their accomplices suffer the same fate.
Very well. Do what you wish. Go upstairs and unbind the guests. Fetch horses and soldiers and weapons, and then when you've caught your pirate, you may hang us both on the same tree.
Yes. You would suffer that and be glad. Because you have had at last the thing you wanted all your life. Is not that true?
Yes, it's true.
And it might have been me.
Never. That I swear, never in this world.
If you had not left London, if you had not come down here to Navarone, it would have been me. Even though it were from boredom or idleness or indifference, or even from disgust, it would have been me.
No, Rockingham, never. What is it?
I'm going to kill you.
No.
You. I'm going to strangle the life out of you with my own hands, and I'm going to enjoy doing it, do you hear?
Stop it, Daniel! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
Are you all right, my sweet? Donna, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Harry. Why are you looking at me like that?
Well, my love, after last night, I'm just a bit anxious for you. You know, after all you've been through.
All I've been through?
Oh, I damned Frenchman bursting in like that. And then Rockingham.
The Frenchman? Harry, what time is it? How long has the sun been up?
The sun? Why, it's nearly noon. But that doesn't matter.
Noon?
Yes, but what of that? You're going to rest, aren't you? It's all you need to do. Just rest and forget about it.
What are you talking about, Harry?
Oh, why, you must have some recollection. That servant. I knew you should never have touched him so far. And then the ringleader molested you. And the fight.
The fight?
Yes, between the pirate and Rockingham. I'm afraid I've got very bad news, Donna. But you must know sooner or later. Poor Rock, the best friend I ever had, is dead. Killed by that damn scoundrel, stabbed through the heart. But he died to save you, my love. You must never forget that. He died to save you.
Will you explain to me, Harry, very carefully, just what it is you're trying to tell me?
Well, you know the Frenchman made us all go upstairs with his men so that we shouldn't follow him back to his ship. Well, Rockingham was with that damn servant of yours, William. But he must have outwitted him from the first. There were signs of a struggle in Rock's room and a trail of blood leading along the passage. And then he stopped suddenly and we found no trace of the fellow. William, I mean. But then the Frenchman must have come back and Rock threw himself on him. And in the fight that followed, for your safety, Donna, you must always remember that. He lost his life. And we found you in a dead faint downstairs in the hall and Rock's body nearby.
And what happened after that?
Ah, well, it was Rockingham's plan from the first. He told Godolphin and Eustick to post their men on the beaches and have boats in readiness so that if there was a ship hiding up the river, they'd get her as soon as she came down on the tide. Well, they didn't get the ship, but they caught that damn Frenchie.
The leader? You caught their leader?
Oh, yes, yes. Don't worry about that, my pet. Oh, we've caught him, all right. Do you know, he was standing on the beach fighting two of our people at once, while his ship got away. And laughing, damn it. He was laughing and shouting over his shoulder to his people as they swam for their ship. Would you believe it?
And what will happen to him now?
But George Godolphin's got him under guard, and they're for moving him up to Exeter or Bristol when an escort comes down for him in a day or two.
And what then?
Ah, well, they'll hang him, of course. Unless the rest of us string him up Saturday midday, as we've a mind to, as a treat to the people.
But would that be within the law?
Well, not strictly. But I don't think His Majesty would trouble us for a reason. But that's enough of that. Look here, Donna. I've been thinking. It was all my fault what happened last night.
No.
Don't protest, my sweet. I ought to have stopped things somehow. If I hadn't drunk so much, it wouldn't have happened. Look here. I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to give up drinking, and I'll never touch a card again either. I swear it. And we'll go and live in Hampshire, near your father's old place. And I'll be the perfect country gentleman at last. Now, what do you say to that, eh?
Yes, Harry. We'll go and live in Hampshire. Only leave me now. I want to rest.
Of course, my pet. But you'll see. Things will be different in future. I promise.
My lady, it's Prue. May I come in?
What is it? Yes, come in. Is it the children?
No, my lady. There's nothing the matter with the children.
Why, Prue, you've been crying. What's wrong?
It's about William, my lady. I've done something very wicked.
William? What about William?
Well, my lady, he's always been very good to me and most attentive to me and the children when you were ill. I never thought he had anything to do with these terrible pirates, my lady. But last night, I hadn't the heart to give him up. I know it was very wrong of me, my lady, but I just couldn't do it. I found him lying in the passage with a cut on his arm and another on his head and faint with loss of blood, my lady, and I...
Tell me what you did, Prue. I shall not be cross with you, I promise you.
Well, my lady, I know I shouldn't have, but I hid him in the nursery and bathed his wounds. And after breakfast, when all the gentlemen were away searching after pirates, I let him out by the back way. Will they hang me, my lady?
You can have my word they won't, Prue. Do you know where he is now?
Well, he said he had friends at Greek who would shelter him, and that he would be there if you wished to send word to him, my lady.
Thank you, Prue. You did the right thing, and no one will ever know about it except you and me. Now, don't worry about it any more.
No, my lady. Thank you, my lady.
Come on, thank you, boy.
There you are. There you are.
And we're all going to go and live in Hampshire. And Mrs. is going to love me again. And I'm going to be young James to ride and a horse. And
I want a word with you.
Donna, good Lord. Ought you to be up? You look confounded pale, you know.
Quite all right, Harry. Harry, you mentioned Hampshire.
Yes. Oh, Donna, you haven't changed your mind.
No, on the contrary. I want to go there at once. Or rather, I want you to go and take Prue and the children at once. I'll follow you tomorrow.
At once? But we can't. Well, there's this Frenchman to hang. George Godolphin would think it very odd if I just dashed off without waiting to see that devil strung up. And poor Rock to be buried.
I will make your excuses to Lord Godolphin.
Oh, but why? I imagine we could all go down together. Oh, besides, if I take the carriage for the children and ride myself, well, how will you travel tomorrow?
I shall hire a postchaise from Helston and join you at Oakhampton tomorrow evening. You can order it for me as you pass through. What could be simpler?
Oh, my lady. Forgive me for keeping you waiting, but you will understand the need for caution. Huh? Please come in.
Thank you. Are you badly hurt?
Oh, no. Mending rapidly, my lady, thanks to Prue.
Yes, and thanks to Grace for sheltering you.
Uh-huh. Quite so, my lady. My lady, what news?
La Mouette got away with all of her crew, but your master was captured.
Then he will be thinking of a way to escape. You may depend upon that.
Yes, but without our help, I fear he will find it impossible. He's held prisoner by Lord Godolphin at the manor.
Closely guarded?
No, just a jailer and a lad, scarcely more than a boy. Godolphin doesn't see the need for closer measures.
Oh, that is where he is in error, my lady. There's always been a plan for this eventuality. Pierre Blanc will have taken command, and La Mouette will be waiting just beyond the horizon.
And, William, I think I see a way of helping him. I visited Godolphin this afternoon and persuaded him to let me see this notorious pirate. I tried to pass him this pistol, but it was quite impossible. Either Godolphin or the jailer were present the whole time.
That is probably as well you did not, my lady. If it had been discovered, he would have been guarded all more securely. Those two we could manage, Especially if we could think of a way to gain admittance without arousing suspicion.
Exactly. Now, while I was at the manor, I discovered two things. The jailer likes his ale, and Lady Godolphin is in labour. In fact, the child is expected tonight.
Indeed? Well, that is very interesting, but I don't see how...
Ladies in labour generally need a little help, William. Listen to my plan. For a short time, Lord Godolphin left me for a word with the physician. And while he was away, I arranged with the jailer that tonight, a Dr. Williams, who is an excellent judge of ale, you understand, that this Dr. Williams would drink the health of the new baby with a condemned man and his jailer.
Forgive me, my lady, but how does that help my master to escape?
Because, my dear William, you will be the physician.
You're a cool man, no mistake. For a man that's away in the morning, sitting there drawing old secrets, as only you had another 40 years to bore you.
Ah, well, my friend, I have always been of a philosophical turn of mind. At least I know the hour and manner of my departing, and I also know that it will be quick. Who knows what sort of death is in store for another man? Yourself, for instance.
Hey, steady on. I'm not a philosopher like you. That's something I'd rather not think about. A good mug of ale was on my mind just at present.
Oh, yes. With the physician, eh?
Oh, very.
I too look forward to that with some anticipation.
It is very considerate of her ladyship to have thought of it. I don't know that Lord Godolphin would approve. But then, he's not likely to hear of it, is he?
Is that your Smith with him there? And then Dr. Williams from Helston have a word with him.
Shall I go, Father?
No, I'll do it. Aye, Dr. Williams, that you may. If you don't mind waiting just a minute till I come down.
inside, sir. You're very welcome. And we are not failed here to christen the baby into the bargain. But was it a boy?
It was, indeed, a fine boy, and the image of his lordship.
Well, I've fathered 14, and I may say I know the business as well as you. But what did he weigh?
The weight. Now, let me see. Round about 4 pounds, I should say, though I cannot recollect the exact figure.
You call that a fine boy? Boy, curse me, the child never lived.
Did I say 4? I meant 14. Indeed, now I come to think of it, it was somewhere around 15 or 16, yes?
God save you, sir, but that's something of the odds. Did her ladyship you must look to? Is she well?
Very well, and when I left her, she was discussing with his lordship what name she would bestow upon the child.
Then she's a luckier woman than I'd ever give her credit for. It seems to me you deserve 3 measures after that. To bring a child of 16 pounds in the world's hard evening's work and no mistake. You're very good health, sir.
And yours.
And the son and heir. 16 pounds. Here, lad. Here, take yours and bring it up. This is one of mine, sir. Tom.
Ah, your head's Tom.
And yours, sir. Have you come to see the Frenchie that's to swing in the morning?
Oh, thank you, Tom. You remind me. Well, I was forgetting. He's sitting up there, cool as a cucumber, Doctor. Mm. And he said if you were to turn out before midnight, he'd be pleased to drink a mug with you himself.
Well, I should be glad to.
Then come along with me, sir, if you'd be so kind. Tom, you stay here. And mind you, don't touch more than that one mug you've got, see?
Yes, Father.
Go along, sir. I'll bring the stuff on this tray.
Here, who are you barging in without knocking? Don't you know we got a desperate pirate locked away in here?
Look, I'm sorry, but Lady Godolphin has been took worse of a sudden up at the house and they sent me to look for the doctor. Is he here?
Yeah, he's just gone upstairs to have a look at our prisoner. I'll go and fetch.
Oh, no, you won't, my lad.
What do you think you're doing? What's that rope for?
To tie your hands together, my lad. You are a mystery.
Father! Father, I'm 7 o'clock.
I think your father was worried of his own at this particular moment.
Get off me! Father! Father, help!
Are you there, Donald?
Yes. Just making sure that the nightjar doesn't sing before morning.
Well done, the captain, boy. We had to be a little rougher with his father. He'll have a headache tomorrow from other causes than drinking too much ale for once. William, you made it fast.
Yes, monsieur, just coming.
Well, open the door and see if the road is clear.
By heaven, it's the physician going home at last. Hey there, driver.
What are you doing? Are you crazy?
Stop, I say.
Who are you and what do you want? I'm in a hurry.
Is my Lord Godolphin pleased? Did you give him an heir?
He's my foot. There are 2 daughters up at the house.
Oh.
And I'll thank you to let me pass, for all I want is my supper and my bed.
Ah, but you will give us a ride first, won't you? You, driver, join your master inside. I'd advise you not to argue.
Oh, I know. What the devil's the meaning of this? Who are you, sir?
Unfortunately, considerations of my personal safety forbid me to introduce myself. Why don't you ask Lord Godolphin the next time you see him? William?
Monsieur.
You go inside and make sure our worthy physician and his driver give no trouble.
Oui, monsieur.
Boy, up on the box here with me.
All the impertinent...
There are horses waiting a mile up the road, monsieur.
Good work, William.
Come, we have no time to waste.
I can't help feeling sorry for the physician. A hard night's work and now his carriage is in a ditch and he's walking home to supper.
At least he has a supper to go to.
It would be wise, monsieur, if I went now and found a boat. I'll bring you round to a beach here and leave at first light.
True. That will not be long.
Very well. I will return shortly.
And is La Mouette really out there on the sea waiting for you?
Yes.
And you will find her in the morning?
Yes.
Poor William does not like the sea.
But before nightfall, perhaps he will smell the grass on the headland and it will mean Brittany and home. So you killed a man, Donna?
Yes.
When I knew what had happened, when I left you that night, I realized why you did not come to Kovarak. Seeing you now, I can guess what your answer would have been. The Lady Saint-Colombe will become a gracious châtelaine and smile upon her servants and her tenants. And one day she will have grandchildren about her knee and tell them of the time she helped a French pirate to escape. Am I not right?
Yes. Yes, you're right. I cannot leave. I cannot leave my children.
What will you do?
In the morning I will join them. Harry has promised to reform, but I rather doubt his ability to keep his promise. And we are to live in Hampshire. It's a soft countryside, rolling hills and shady trees. My roistering days are done. What of you?
I? Oh, when I've had my fill of piracy, I will perhaps return to my house in Brittany and cover the walls with my drawings of seabirds and a certain cabin boy. But there is William returning already with the boat.
In what part of Brittany does John Benoit Aubrey have his home?
The Finistère. The Land's End. It is not like your Hampshire. There's a jagged piece of rock which is swept by the west wind night and day.
Who's got it dead?
It is time. Farewell, my daughter.
In Frenchman's Creek by Daphne du Maurier, dramatized for radio by Brian Gere, the part of Donaldson Colum was played by Sheila Ruskin, Jean-Benoit Aubry by David Buck, William by Geoffrey Matthews, Lord Harris and Colum, Paul Lavers, Lord Rockingham, Nicholas Lux, Lord Godolphin, Dennis Raymond, Philip Rashleigh,